Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're on this old bad, nasty works of the flesh stuff, and I'll be glad to get past it. I don't know about you. It's just bad. We need to know what it says, and we need to be admonished about it. We left off last time here, and here speaking about the works of the flesh, in verse number 19, or verse number 20, rather, we left off there with idolatry and witchcraft. We don't need to understand what it is that our flesh is still capable of. Our flesh is capable of all this. Our old mind, the old man, this is what he knows. This is what he does very well. And these things need to be put down in every way. And if they're rising up in our lives, if they're manifesting themselves in our families, in our homes, we need to take them and put them down. We need to be on watch for them in every way. And so, and in ourselves, we need to know that we're capable of these things. If it's not for the help and the grace and touch of the Lord, tomorrow we could all just be going haywire, chasing after the most sensual and licentious sin that there is. We need the Lord's help. And that's the reason He's given us prayer, that we might beseech Him that He would help us. But here, the apostle is dealing with these churches in Galatia, speaking to them about the law. They claim that they want to add the law to salvation. They want to add things to Christ. And he speaks to them about love. And he speaks to them about this desiring of the law, or desiring of the grace of the Lord. And so he embarks upon this old man, new man presentation and argument, if you will, against their stand, and say, do you want what man can do? Because this is what man does. And is any of this pretty? Is any of this good? Is any of this godly? And so he says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, and that's image worship. And as it's mentioned, as we read over Colossians chapter 3, idolatry is associated there with covetousness, which is idolatry. We want a thing that belongs to another. If we put anything between us and God, we're dabbling with idolatry, we're dabbling with covetousness. The praise of men, do you and I covet, do we seek after the praise of men? Do we want to be patted on the back? Do we want the accolades of the world? Do we want to be pumped up by the world? Are we worried about what others think? I lived a miserable life when I lived a life wondering what other people think. I tell you, if you live that way, go to the Lord and ask Him to help you to shuck that thing about, get rid of that thing about what other people think. We need to have a good witness and a good testimony. We do. We need to do well. We need to be representative of the Lord well. But if your motivation about what you do or you don't do is what other people think, it's the wrong motivation. It's a wrong. We need to be worried about what the Lord thinks. That's what we need. That is some bondage, worrying about what other people think. Well, what will they think? Who cares what they think? It's what the Lord thinks. That's what we need to worry about. It's what the Lord thinks. And do well in that. Witchcraft. The Greek word for this, I find it interesting, it's pharmakeia. Pharmakeia. Pharmakai. And so we get that word pharmacy from that. It's a changing, it's a losing control of the spirit. It's a losing control of one's senses. Now that's drunkenness. It takes us away from the control that we have of ourselves. We were filled with other spirits. And then this thing of witchcraft is being, it is so. We were asked at the jail the other night, do you believe in ghosts? I don't believe in ghosts. Anybody that's lived and died is either with the Lord or in hell. Okay? So there's not people floating around motivating people. If our family has died, they're dead. They're there. If they're saved, they're with the Lord. And if they were not saved, they're in hell. They're not here. We don't hear them. We don't visit with them. It's not that. They've gone on. And if they're saved, praise God. Why would we even want them back? Amen? Yeah, we don't. Why would we want them to bring them back to this? But there are evil spirits. There are the angels that fell. There are the righteous angels of the Lord that, according to the will of God and days gone by the working and power of God and what the Lord wanted to accomplish, that the Lord allowed and purposed for the angels of God to manifest themselves unto men. And you know what? The wicked ones can manifest themselves too. And so the seances, Ouija boards, palm readers, all that stuff, stay away from that and keep your children away from that. Sorcery, witchcraft, necromancers, stay away from that garbage. Because the soul that is not saved is in great peril dabbling with those things. The soul that is saved can have their very life destroyed. I know of some brethren that lived in the day that I was just very, very young, and they studied about, every man that I know that ever studied about the occult was drugged down to a terrible ruin, and they were men that claimed to be saved and of the Lord and the Lord's men. Well, I don't need to study about the occult to preach to you. We need to study about what God says in His Word. We know what that is. We'll recognize all the other junk. Amen? Right. Yeah, we study what's good. Study what's right. Then it goes on to say here, hatred, hostility, opposition, and enmity, hatred. It's sad to say, we've seen that manifested in the last many months. There's just a hatred against the Word of God and the stand and against people, and just a pursuit to pull down and pull down and pull down. Hatred will do that. My life is miserable, one might say, and so is everybody else's going to be, because of hatred. We're very capable of hatred. May God help us that we not be haters. And not manifest itself. What's it go on to say? Variance. Quarreling, wrangling, contention, debate, strife. You take side A, I'll take side B. You take side B, I'll take side C. Just looking for an argument. Just looking to take the counterpoint always. And I can understand, there is an element there about the art of debate and the skill of debate, but this is just looking to be quarrelsome. Never really worried about what the truth is, to find the truth, but just, yeah, we've all known folks that was their specialty. You bring a point up, and whatever was brought up, they're going to argue the counterpoint. There's some brethren that I know of that seemingly they have some papers that they write, and they're that way. They're just always looking for the controversy. Why? How about the truth? Amen? The truth. Let's look for the truth and stand in that. Variance. Then emulations. It goes on to say here, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations. The definition of this is speaking about zeal. And there's a favorable way that it can be, and then a bad way that it can be, and that indignation, a jealousy, a fervent mind. If we take the English word of emulation, we're looking to be like another. And the indication here in the English would be to be like one that would be wicked. Pro sports teams and the pro athletes. It's many children want to emulate them, don't they? Be like them. And they live 9.5 times out of 10, they're living a debauched life. Right. Living a debauched life. Rock and roll music stars, country western stars, the folks on TV and movies and in the media and making entertainment. You know, they morally they for the biggest part, for the greatest part, they live like dogs.
Right.
That's the reason they're there. Mm-hmm. That's how they've got there.
Amen.
They have to buy into that for them to be promoted. And then they feed that stuff to us and our children. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us that we guard against that. And then it goes on to say here, wrath. And we dealt with that in Colossians chapter 8. And it seems to me that wrath is that indication of anger with legs on it. That's when wrath is going to, and when anger is going to pick up and go do something about it. Well, when a man would stand up and say about another man, everything he's for, I'm going to be against. Wrath being manifested. I'm going to put it down. I'm going to pull it down. I'm going to be contrary to it in every way. We saw Sunday about the wrath of the Lord. That's when he's angry with the wicked every day, isn't he? But when his wrath is poured out, he will begin to do something about it. He's the only one that can pursue wrath in a righteous way, isn't he? That's the reason we need to back off of vengeance. Because we won't get it right. And we need to lay that in the hands of the Lord. Strife. Strife here. Again, it's along that line of that word variance. Always stirring, always contentious, always fussing and arguing. Wanting something seemingly that never can be found. Always wanting to keep it going. He goes on and says here, seditions in verse 20. By contention, by strife, by variance, causing divisions, divisions, divisions. We saw over in Colossians chapter 3 where the apostle takes that same approach that he is here with the churches at Galatia. And he says, beware of the concision, the cutting off. They're always looking to divide and separate. They take, it's kind of a play on words, it seems like. The thing that they pursue after and the thing that they hold up as necessary for salvation is circumcision. That's a cutting off. And he says, they are of that are cutting themselves off from the grace of the Lord and the goodness of the Lord. They want you to enjoin them. Beware of that. Beware of that. What the Scripture talks about us is that sin has been cut off and our works have been cut off and we've been added to Christ. We've been brought to Him. We've been joined together in the church. And don't seek to be divided. Don't seek to be one that would be seditious, one that would want division. And then heresy. Heresy, the Greek word is pronounced that very same way. We get it directly from the Greek, it seems. And it's doctrine that is against the Lord. It's false. The Scripture admonishes us, I believe in Timothy, that the heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. Because if they won't turn, we can't make them turn. We need to stand for what's true and what's right. But don't go after false doctrine. Don't go after that which we don't have the Bible to back us up. If it's not in the Scripture, then leave it alone. Leave it alone. And for sure, don't be teaching the commandments of men for the Word of God. I mean, we got to watch that. That's the reason we need to be settled and founded upon the Word of God. What we do as a church, what do we do as the children of the Lord in our families and in our individual lives and together as a church, we need to make sure that we've got the Word of God to back it up. An example that we can go to, a pattern that we can go to in the Scripture to back it up. Otherwise, we can't expect to have the blessing of the Lord in it. There are things in the operation of the church that may not exactly be spelled out about what should be done at a given time, but there is a way that's spelled out in the Scripture about how we're to pursue it. You hear what I'm saying? There may not be a thing about there'll be support this missionary or don't support this missionary, but what's the Scripture instruct us to do in determining that? Check them out and pray Amen? See? There's instruction that's there. He goes on here and he says, heresies in verse 21, envyings, envy. It seems to be the legs on jealousy. It's what jealousy, when it gets legs on it, will go and do. It'll want to tear down. Now, you can't have it. I can't have it. Then you can't have it. Jealousy that goes to having legs on it, to where that which another may have and one would be jealous of it is just going to pull it down and destroy. That's all the flesh wants. It's all the flesh knows. And then here, after envyings, what's it say? Murders. Not only the killing of a person, but bringing an end to a life. I think there, and the Lord speaks about it on the Sermon on the Mount, is and the trouble that we have in the factory of sin and the old man. Have you ever hated someone so much that you wanted them dead? If you were ever bullied when you were a kid, I just about guaranteed that you had somebody like that. Somebody that bullied you so and just picked on you so. Someone that would be so hated because they would be contrary to us. Or to assassinate, if you will, their character. And to run a person down. To not necessarily murder them physically, but to do them harm. May the Lord help. It's what the flesh works. What the flesh promotes. And then drunkenness. The Greek word, the pronunciation of the Greek word, if I've got it right, is methe. You find that interesting? We're dealing with meth today, aren't we? Methamphetamine. It's rampant in our country. The law enforcement and the officials, they pursue after that drug problem, and it just seems like the faster they run, the more out of control it gets. Drunkenness. Alcohol, drugs. The control of the spirit or the soul by another spirit. It's what the flesh pursues. It goes on to here to say envyings, murders, drunkenness, and revelings. We see this. You go to a college town, you'll for sure see it. Just rioting, raising the roof, if you will. Just losing control and letting it rip. Just making a spectacle out of oneself over nothing. Carousing and letting loose. Rioting. Well, we've got groups in our nation that if they don't get their way, they think a riot is a way to make a statement about it. And the insanity of that generally is they burn down their own place. Doesn't make sense, does it? But it's a work of the flesh. It's the old man at work. And then it wraps it up here in this portion of Scripture. We've looked at Colossians 3. We've looked at here. We've seen the parallels between the two. And it says, and such like. I find that interesting that the apostle wraps up this list of the works of the flesh and such like. Said there's going to be other things. I maybe haven't mentioned them. But if you got the Word of God in you, when you see Him, you'll recognize Him.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
And the thing is what could the apostle believe? I mean, it was wicked in his day. Roman government was debauched. The man that the apostle stood before, right, Nero, he was debauched. He was a wicked man. A wicked day. But then could the apostle believe what it's come to today? I believe that wickedness has increased. Because as the Scripture says, because wickedness shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. It's getting worse and worse and worse, and it's exponential. We're blessed in our country, even with what we do end up seeing in our country, we don't see a lot of what goes on in the world. And it's just terrible. Terrible. All because of our depravity. Satan is the author of sin. But you know what? We can't blame him for it. He is the author of sin, but we can't blame him for mankind's sin. We grabbed hold of that in Adam and in our depravity and run with it. Natural man has. Because we love it. We love it. And he goes on here and he says, he says something like it in Colossians, which we'll review again. He says, listen, these works of the flesh that are shown forth, they're manifest. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Verse 19. He comes up here in verse 21 in the latter part and it says, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past. He says, I've told you before, I'm telling you again, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. He says, you're involved in doing these things repeatedly as a way of life, as a manner of life, over and over again. Not talking about the child of God that might fall back into doing some of these things, because that can happen. But if this is a way of life, if this is a way of life, they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Won't do it. In Colossians chapter 3, take a look over here. We want to be reminded here about this. And seeing this speaks to us about the change that is to be wrought, that is wrought in us in salvation. We're not to be living like the old man. And in any of these things, these works of the flesh, maybe they aren't manifested out in the hands and the mouth and the feet. But many of them can be manifest yet in the heart. Is there a desire that, and it will be, if it's in the heart and it's in the heart, in the mind, and that's all that's being cultivated, and that's all that's being pursued, it'll manifest itself in the flesh. It will. But here in Colossians chapter 3, he says here in verse number 6, for which thing's sake, as this list of the works of the flesh, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Not only is there no inheritance that are for those that live in and do these things, no inheritance, but also the wrath and righteous vengeance of God will come down on it and come down on it hard. No escape. No escape. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The works of the flesh and those that practice such have no inheritance. If you're here and you're not saved, this describes you. This is what you are. So, Brother Jim, that's pretty tough. I'm just young. I've tried to be a good child in my mom and dad's home. This describes your heart and your capability. And the only way that you can be rescued from this is by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Through repentance and faith in Him. It's the only way. But something that you are not capable of doing, you cannot reform yourself, you cannot change yourself, you cannot take these things and put them out of you. They're in you. You need someone that can give you life, a new heart, a heart that'll allow you to pursue those things that we'll be looking into next time, Lord willing, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is that by which is the only way by which these things in the old man and the flesh can be pressed down, can be displaced. And the only one that can give that new heart, the only one that can give that salvation, the only one that can make that change is the Lord Jesus Christ. You need Him. You need to receive Him. You need to believe and trust in Him. For we that the Lord saved, He's brought us a long way, hadn't He?
Amen.
And praise His holy name for it.
Amen.
Oh, what wretchedness there is in sin and being held in bondage by sin. That's what we were. We were in bondage to these things. It's all we knew. Something comes up, that list was our reaction. That's the way it was. But now, having been made alive, having been set free, having been set at liberty, as the apostle has said, we're not in bondage to pursue those things of the flesh. Because we've been set free and we've been given ability, we've been given the Spirit of God, that we can pursue right and good things. So when we are abused, when we are persecuted by the power and Spirit of God, we can react and do like the Lord Jesus Christ. And be a witness of the impossible to a lost and dying world. Amen?
Amen.
Because how is it that a sinner could be saved? Well, with men, it's impossible, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah. But with the Lord, it's all possible.